Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Peter Lohman, and as Jonathan said, I work for Operation Mobilization. I used to work, actually, for a thing called IFES, and I say that because I worked with them for 20-odd years, and one of the things we did was to start the Christian student movement in Russia. And I know one of my old colleagues is in the church here, so I just thought I'd flag that up if Nathan Leckler is around this morning. But yeah, these days I work with OM, and I'm delighted to have the chance just to be here and to say thank you to you as a church, because you support three couples with us in OM in two really key parts of the world. You've got one couple, you've got Ruth and Bangin, in the Near East, and you've got the Schmidts in Europe, and you've got the Johnsons in Kosovo. And you know, folks, the Near East and continental Europe are, I suppose, the two most resistant parts of the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for what you're doing there. As we are involved in this kind of thing, or if we're involved in this kind of thing, we're doing something that's very close to the heart of God, caring for the world that the way that the Lord does. And we've just been listening to John 3. For God so loved the world. This is such a thought-provoking verse when you think about it. God so loved the world that he gave the biggest thing he could possibly give for the sake of the lost world. He gave his only son. Lots of you here are parents. I am. I wouldn't give my only son for anything. But God so loved the world that he gave the biggest thing he could possibly give for the sake of the lost world. And you see what that says, sisters and brothers? That says to us that the world is on our agenda. If we're functioning as children of the Father, then that same spirit of love for the world is going to characterize us, isn't it? There's going to be that same desire that the world should hear about Jesus and the willingness to give for that. God gave the biggest thing he could possibly give. If we're functioning as children of the Father, we're going to be like that too, aren't we? I have a verse for you up there on about God the Son. John 17, Jesus on his way to the cross stops and prays to the Father. Don't ask me how you can possibly express a conversation within the Trinity in human language, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, John does this. And in John 17, he's on the way to the cross. Jesus says to his Father, Father, as you sent me into the world, I've sent my disciples into the world. And so, brothers and sisters, our lives, Jesus is saying there, our destiny, the shape of our lives, is that we are sent into the world the way that Jesus was sent into the world by the Father. Now, you know, we could spend the whole morning on that. What did it mean for Jesus to leave his glory and come into the mess of first century Palestine with all of that involved? And now he says to us, I'm sending you the way the Father sent me. You see what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, the world is on our agenda. What we're doing this morning is not just a hobby for a few people who are a bit freaky, you know, because they're interested in missionary stuff. It might as well be Scottish jazz. It might be obscure hip-hop. It happens to be missionaries for them. It's not like that. Rather, if we're functioning as children of the Father, we're going to love the world like God does. If we're functioning as disciples of the Son, we're going to experience our destiny as being sent into the world by Jesus, the way he was sent by the Father. That's how we'll really get to grips with our destiny. And I put a third verse up there, Acts 1:8. You know this one. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it's very interesting what Jesus says next, because there's so many things he could have said. He could have said, as the Spirit comes to dominate you, he will transform your Bible study. And that would have been true. The more the Spirit comes to control us, the more obscure parts of the Word of God really come alive for us. He didn't say that, though. Or he could have said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and your prayer lives will be transformed. And prayer will not be something mechanical for you now. You'll realize you've got this incredible power to channel God's goodness into the world. That would have been true, and he didn't say it. Or he could have said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and your fellowship will be transformed. And you will become communities of people of every age, every ethnicity, every personality type, bound together by the love of the Spirit. He didn't say that either. All that would have been true too. But for Jesus, the number one consequence when the power of the Spirit is really dominating our lives is that we will be his witnesses. In our city, Jerusalem in their case, we've just been hearing about Ben and Abigail, Tower Hamlets. In our city, and Jesus said in Judea, the whole surrounding country, and not just there, in Samaria, the next door country, you know, where there's an ethnic issue, they don't like your ethnicity so much, Scotland, France, whatever, and right to the ends of the earth, yeah? And for Jesus, this was the number one consequence of the power of the Spirit coming in power in his disciples. You see what I'm saying, folks? Mission morning. This is so central to the heart of God. God loved the world. He calls us to do the same. Jesus was sent into the world by the Father. He sends us into the world the same way. And the Spirit is given number one consequence so that we'll be his witnesses in our city, in our country, in the next door country, and right to the ends of the earth. That's why I'm glad to be sharing this morning. And let me say, folks, as we get to grips with our destiny, as we understand what the Lord is calling us to do in the world, it is an exhilarating thing. As I said to you, I had the privilege of working in Russia for 11 years, and the Soviet Union had just collapsed, communism had just finished, it was a real mess, and we had the chance in that situation to bring the gospel of God into the universities. I tell you, it was so exhilarating. I wouldn't have wanted to miss that for anything. And with OM now, you know, I just rejoice at the things that the Lord is doing that I get the chance to listen to. And I think as we understand what God is doing in the world, it builds our confidence here. Another church leader was saying that to me the other day. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes in Britain we feel we're on the back foot, the media take the mick, the government do things we don't like. And continental Europe is even darker, most of it. But when we get to grips with what God is doing in the world, we realize that, well, first of all, what's happening here is unusual. Secondly, the Lord has privileged you and I by calling us to live for him in a part of the world that's difficult. In contrast, you've got South America. Those of you who know about OM will know we're famous for our ships. And we have got a ship that travels around doing missionary stuff and evangelistic stuff. It's in South America at the moment. Why? Well, because God's church is growing so fast there. And we want to see the growth of the church in South America spilling over to Muslim parts of North Africa, for example. We are out for, and you can pray with us for this, we're out for finding 2,000 South American missionaries to work in North Africa in the next couple of years. And that's possible because of what God is doing there. We have this ship, it's going to be in London next year. But last time it was in London, 25,000 people came to visit it. Now, I was blown away by this. It was in Mexico last year, 200,000 people came to visit it. That is the difference between the Mexican church and the British church. And of those 200,000, 3,000 said, yep, we want to be involved in global mission, whether by praying or going or whatever. Folks, what God is doing in South America, in China, in sub-Saharan Africa is wonderful. Again, when I was a student, they packed me off to Nigeria once. And I was blown away by the difference between God's presence in the universities of Nigeria and what we have in Europe. I went to, I think there were about 10 universities in Nigeria where there were 800 plus Christians meeting every week. There is nowhere in Europe like that. And I knew there were 5 sub-Saharan African countries where 10% of the students were actively involved in campus witness. This is in my days in student work. And I tell you, folks, now we are out for, and please pray with us for this, we are looking for, over these next 10 years, to find 5,000 missionaries from sub-Saharan Africa to reach the Muslim countries of Africa. They're not easy for whites. But, you know, God has raised up such strong churches in sub-Saharan Africa, and we want to see that strength channeled to reach the Muslim parts of Africa. This is exciting. And, you know, it puts into context, doesn't it? We're struggling a bit here. Continental Europe, the church is struggling even more. But God's arm is not shortened that it can't save. And when we, you know, when we see those things, I'll give you another example. China. President Xi has been really tightening the clamps on the church in recent times in China. Persecution has really stepped up there. But you know, there are 100 million Christians in China. That's, you know, more than there are people in this country. And the missionaries are starting to be sent from there. So China is extending its influence westwards into some of the old Soviet countries, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, places like that. As it does so, the missionaries are going. Missionaries from the People's Republic of Communist China are carrying the gospel out into the old Soviet countries. Isn't that great? Doesn't that want to make you think, yeah, God is such a creative God? Now, not everything is that good, obviously. You know as well as I do, there are parts of the world that are seriously resistant to the gospel of Jesus. And when I think of that, I think first of all of the Muslim world, where you are sending, you are supporting a couple. But you know, folks, we are in, I believe, a historically crucial moment in the Muslim world. Now, as I said to you, I had the privilege of living in one of those in Russia when the Soviet Union collapsed, when communism collapsed. We had 4 or 5 years when everything was open. Those opportunities don't last long. They're wonderful when they come. We have got one now in the Middle East, and the reason is this, the reason is our friends in ISIS.
Because so many decent, normal Muslim people, and I mean, I imagine, Abigail, I don't know how this plays in Tower Hamlets, but those of you who've got Muslim friends will know, many Muslims are wrestling with, what does this mean? Good, decent, normal Muslims are looking at what ISIS have done and said, burning people to death, pushing people off buildings, I did not sign up for that. And they're open to the gospel. And I was talking to somebody the other day who reckoned that 35,000, 40,000 Muslims have turned to Christ in the Middle East in recent times, and ISIS is the reason. This opportunity won't last forever. But right now, the Near East is wide open, and we need to be flooding it with prayer, and we need to be flooding it with workers. Yeah, exciting times, I think. So what does all that mean? Well, can I have my other slide? What does it mean for us to... Oh, I've run ahead of my notes, but try and find my place. What does it mean for us to be actively caring for the world the way that the Lord does? Well, bottom line, folks, prayer. And I'm sure every single missionary you support, whether here in London or anywhere else in the world, and whoever they're working with, will say, this is the bottom line. We are not going to crack the difference that needs to be made in the violence-strewn estates of London unless there's serious prayer. Tower Hamlets is not going to go places unless there's serious prayer. OM, we are called to reach the really unreached parts of the world. Unreached parts of the world are unreached for spiritual reasons. We're not going to win that battle unless there's serious prayer. So brothers and sisters, we are desperate for prayer. And I know, I'm sure that will be true of Abigail. I'm sure that will be true of the other missionaries you support. Speaking for OM, there's a table over there on your right. And if you've got space in your prayer life, you might like to have a look at our magazine, Global. And particularly this, which is our Prayer Warriors booklet. One prayer item a day, okay? And you can make a difference in other parts of the world. And there's a card there that you can fill in and say, I want those regularly, and we will see they get to you. There's even a pen, a charity pen, so some of them work and some of them don't. But you can fill in one of those cards. We are so desperate for prayer. Because the thing is this, brothers and sisters, God loves partnership. And he could do all this stuff without us, but he chose not to so that he could partner with us. James chapter 4, verse 2, you don't have if you don't ask. Yeah? God, not always mercifully, but a lot of the time he limits himself to the things that we pray for, and he waits for us to pray before the breakthroughs happen. So brothers and sisters, yeah, please pray for these people you've just seen on the video. Please pray for these difficult parts of the world. And then there's a second thing. Learning how to share God's resources with the world. Let me put something to you, and this may sound like a fantasy, but it isn't. Think about this. Suppose here in All Saints, you give some money to the Trivets. Who are the Trivets working with, Jonathan?
They're working with the Yerevan International Church.
Yerevan International Church, great. Okay, I knew it wasn't OM. Suppose you give some money to them. Now, you get to heaven, and somebody you don't know comes up to you and says, you don't know me, but I'm from Armenia. And they say, in Peckham, you gave some money one Sunday. And that money went to the Trivets. And they did some stuff in Yerevan. And because of that, I became a Christian. Actually, I not only became a Christian, I actually became a pastor and I started a church. And then we started three more churches. And that's entirely because you in Peckham gave money. You see what I'm saying, folks? I'm not making that kind of thing up. You can just imagine that is the kind of conversation that you are going to have in heaven, because the money that you give here doesn't just vanish. It goes to doing stuff that really makes a difference. People get saved, people get discipled, people turn into Christian leaders, people start churches because of the money you give. So let's learn to do that, let's be encouraged. And the last thing, investing our lives. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, thinking of how Jesus sends us into the world the way the Father sent him. Dream big dreams of what your life could mean. You know, I look around, big church, and I wonder how many of you is the Lord saying, why don't you spend a decade, you've got several of them left, one decade somewhere else in the world and really build something to last for my kingdom. And I'll tell you something else, and I think this is something our own literature in OM hasn't really caught up with. So many of us have got professional skills we can use for the gospel elsewhere. I was talking to our Africa director last year, and he was saying, we are desperate for accountants and bookkeepers. He said, you know, there are parts of Africa, we don't need whites particularly because our culture is different from yours, but boy, your culture equips you to be a good accountant and bookkeepers. We need accountants and bookkeepers. And I tell you folks, there's so many professional skills we need. We work in 110 countries. We need HR people, we need IT people, we need welders, we need electricians, we need vehicle repairers, we need carpenters. If you've got a career break coming up, or if you're in the kind of job, you know, where you can take a break between jobs, have a think about coming out somewhere and just using your ability. In Afghanistan right now, the scriptures are being spread on mobiles. If you were giving them out by paper, your head would be chopped off sooner or later. But the scriptures are going out by mobile. But we need IT people to work on that. In London, mentoring the people in Afghanistan. All sorts of possibilities. Or you might even just like to look at this, and there's a website on it. We have 70 short-term projects, and you can come out just for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and do something to build the kingdom of God. My time's up, folks, so let me just say this. I want to encourage you to dream big dreams. I want to encourage you that as you look at your life and think of the decades ahead, if the Lord doesn't come back, and I know he might come back before we finish this service, but if he doesn't, yeah? What do you want to have left behind as footprints? You don't want to get to your old age and you're there with your cocoa and your poodle and you think, well, God gave me gifts and I ended up with a slightly bigger house and a slightly hunkier husband and a slightly better career. You can use the gifts that God has given you to do something that will last for millions of years for the glory of God and really leave footprints for the glory of God. That's what I want. Is it what you want as well? Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I want to thank you so much for this church. I thank you that because of All Saints, or significantly because of All Saints, your gospel is being spread in Kosovo and your gospel is being spread in the Near East. And Lord God, I thank you for the fact that because of what this church is doing now, church planters are going into Iraq where there's been so much horror. Lord, we praise your name for the prayers and the giving and just the support that this church gives to the folk there in the Near East. And Lord God, we praise your name for that. And I want to pray, Lord, that you help each of us to dream big dreams of what our prayers can mean and what our giving can mean and what our lives can mean. Help us, Lord, none of us to feel we're insignificant. Help us each to see that you've called us to be your witnesses in our city, our country, the next door country, and right to the ends of the earth. Lord, help us to grasp the destiny that you have for us. Glorify yourself through us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.